Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscribe button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
What are the particular comforts of Lutheran theology in practice? Find out in my column in the latest Issues Etc. journal. We'll send it to you for free. Just click the red journal subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. In the Wittenberg Trail feature, Peter Slayton writes about growing up in a Christianity that was more about him and what he was doing, and finding in the Lutheran Confession a Christianity that focused on Jesus. The free online Issues Etc. journal, issuesetc.org. It's something you're hearing more and more about, a social credit system, or maybe even a social credit score. They have this in China, by the way. You can increase it or decrease it by various activities, or maybe even just ideas, expressions of thought. What is the purpose of such a social credit system in a place like China? And are we headed toward one here in the United States, imposed not by the government or by law, but by your employer or somebody else's employer or big tech? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk about a non-governmental social credit system. Joy Pullman joins us. She's managing editor of The Federalist, author of the book The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled Big Corporate Uses Capital Riots to Push Communist-Style Social Credit System on Americans. Joy, welcome back.
Hi, thank you, Todd.
So explain what a social credit system is.
Well, it was pioneered in the totalitarian country of China. And how it works is the Chinese government has embedded cameras and listening devices all over the country, primarily in its many large, highly populated cities. And they are watching everyone. And when people do, you know, things as small as spit in the street, help an elderly neighbor across the street, the cameras, you know, there are monitors. They employ, I think it's millions of people to filter the information that comes into them digitally. And then they basically give points and take away points from people based on what all of their data gathering shows that they have done. And people with low cumulative scores, you know, so have done more things that displease the Chinese government, are unable to do things like get access to financial services, to banking. They're unable to purchase train tickets. You know, they can't travel. Their kids may not get into good universities. They may not be allowed to get good jobs, that sort of things. And people with high credit scores can, you know, do all of those things. So it's basically a system of socially controlling and surveilling and ensuring compliance among its populace.
So it has those two sides to it, both the surveillance and the data gathering, but also social engineering by essentially saying you could do what you want, but if you do, there will be consequences.
Right. I mean, it's kind of a, you know, really big brothery kind of, you know, system. For those who have read the novel, you know, in 1984 by George Orwell, there is a surveillance state that has installed, you know, and he talked about this before we had cell phones and you know, computers and all of that sort of thing. We're all now carrying surveillance devices in our pockets. We've got them in almost every room of our house. But the 1984, you know, before all that happened, that's basically how his totalitarian government in that novel also enforced compliance.
So what has taken place last week on social media or in the last week and other online services that have many concerned about a coming social credit system that may be non-governmental?
Well, following the riot, the latest riot in the Capitol, because there in fact were riots there this summer, but they were perpetrated by, in the name of leftist causes, namely Black Lives Matter. But so in this latest, the new riot is the first time that a major segment of conservative self-proclaimed Trump supporters have enacted violence, politically motivated violence. In the wake of that, basically huge numbers of all the biggest tech companies in the world have cracked down on President Trump, namely, but also the 74 million Americans who voted for him, you know, almost all of which haven't done any crimes or committed any kind of violence. So that includes, for example, President Trump has been pushed off of almost every major platform, Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat. His campaign organization has been pulled from its email services, pulled from its different shops, the commerce platforms. You know, you can't buy Trump hats and T-shirts on many platforms now. And that's just the things that are related to President Trump. The other places that are related to President Trump, there are companies that are literally firing people who merely attended the rally without any evidence that they participated in any crime. So it started with President Trump, it's done in his name, but it's rippling outward. By the way, listeners, my toddler's fine.
Yeah, that's just the noise they make on a regular basis.
That's right.
If you would give us
no repression needed.
If you would give us some examples of how American corporations are kind of going along with a purge of conservative ideas among their employees. You had mentioned someone being fired for simply attending the latest Trump rally in our nation's capital. Are there other examples?
Oh, well, police departments all across the country have started opening probes into whether any of their police officers who were off duty, you know, in their private life, if they had gone to the Trump protest, presumably for the reason that they may face, you know, sanctions from their employers for having done, engaged in that actually. I mean, if someone went to this rally and several hundred thousand people did go and most of them did not commit any crimes, they just walked about, you know, in the streets with flags and such. And so that's constitutionally protected First Amendment behavior, you know, expressing your political views peacefully. But, and being, you know, investigated by your employer for exercising your First Amendment rights is obviously a sort of, you know, pressure tactic. It makes people afraid. And again, it suggests that, you know, even though these are rights that Constitution protects, they may not be rights that corporations are interested in preserving or norms for society that these employers are really going to back or uphold with their actions and policies anymore. The National Association of Realtors, in response to the unrest in the Capitol, revised its professional ethics code, and it will be taking complaints from anybody. And if anyone who is a realtor, a member of this 1.4 million member organization, in their private life says things that challenge the leftist view of the world. They call it hate speech, but you know, we know that leftists consider it to be hate speech to say Christian things like God made men and women. They are threatening their members with fines of being expelled from the organization as well as a fine up to $15,000. And then there are people who on the left are coordinating campaigns to go after companies, find everyone whose face appeared on social media as having attended that rally, and then targeting their employers to get them to be fired. Even if they didn't commit a crime, they're, you know, seeking this kind of harassment. They're also, you know, anyone who contributed to President Trump's campaign, businesses, private individuals, or contributed to the 100 members of Congress, House Republicans, who voted against certifying the election results because of well-documented the fact that, you know, numbers of states did not actually follow their own election laws in 2020, claiming, you know, it was response to coronavirus. But before having taken that action, these pressure groups are also going to pressure all of their funders. So it's kind of, I mean, the atmosphere is creepy. It's completely creepy. These are coordinated pressure campaigns using money and reputation, you know, basically another instance of cancel culture just expanding its reach. Again, not against people who have committed any crimes or even done things, used bad language, said mean things, said imprudent things. You know, we're talking about just people who may have just walked around carrying a flag, but because they did it for the quote unquote wrong political candidate, they're being called insurrectionists and seditionists, and, you know, possibly will have a campaign to have them banned from being able to provide for themselves and their families.
I think one of the things that we find most remarkable here, and probably since Brandon Eich, I've been asking this question, how does the left exercise such control over corporate America?
I mean, of course, with anything like this, there's lots of factors, but I think that two are major ones. And one of them is the fact that politicians, that conservatives, people who aren't leftists, vote for really have refused to use government power when they get it to protect our First Amendment and other constitutional rights. They do not stand up and defend them. They do not, for example, Congress continues to fund organizations that, you know, say that America is a racist nation. They don't pull contracts from corporations that refuse to defend the First Amendment rights of their employees. You know, things like that, that government could easily do that is not, has not been done and is not even on the table in many cases for politicians who claim to support the Constitution. So that's one issue. And the second issue is very clearly, I mean, the American education system, you know, takes children of conservatives and Christians and turns out a very large proportion of them into anti-American secular atheists. That's just the absolute truth. And corporate America is, I mean, the people to who get to the top of corporate America nowadays have to go through basically leftist grooming institutions in the form of higher education. I mean, we all know, different universities are basically social clubs. Who you know gets your position, and you get your position basically on your, demonstrating your fidelity to leftist values. And so that's how corporate America is controlled by the left. And it's a serious problem that really, you know, again, conservatives have not paid enough attention to this. This has been growing for the past 60 years, and they have just hand-waved it away and said, oh, it's not a big deal. Well, this is the fruit of having ignored education and children, as well as, again, not requiring civil society to really uphold constitutional historic American norms.
Is the government powerless to stop the destruction of citizens' livelihoods, sometimes their lives, because of their political and moral beliefs in this kind of a social credit system?
The short answer is no. So, I mean, there are some things that government cannot do because of our constitutional structure, and I believe in our Constitution and the principles that undergird it, and I don't want to have a fascist state where government basically, you know, controls corporations and tells them what they must do. But at the same time, we kind of already have, I mean, I don't, you know, want to use imprecise language, but we have a society in which government and business are very well intermeshed. So, for example, something like a third to nearly a half of our, you know, economy is related to government grants, contracts, and other services. Well, you know, there can be laws required that anyone who contracts or gets a grant from any level of government is required to be completely nonpartisan and never threaten employees for engaging in nonviolent, you know, political expressions. So that is absolutely an existing lever of power that can be used that doesn't expand government and doesn't have government, you know, getting into the really creepy, you know, area of telling people what they can say and when. And there's other kind of levers like that that are available. But again, you know, many of our politicians have not been interested in employing them, I think, you know, because they have, you know, really haven't been upholding their responsibility to protect our constitutional freedoms and our rights, you know, to, again, you know, say what we think without fear of reprisal from people on different political views.
How can the average person fight what is essentially a faceless system of social credit that is built on people snitching on each other or data gathering or surveillance in, as you say, everyone's walking around with the device in their pockets already? How can the average person fight that faceless system of social credit?
Well, I mean, this is a giant problem that's been building for several generations now, and we're not going to solve it with easy fixes or quickly. So I think there are small things and increasing, you know, things that people can do in concert with each other. I mean, I just think one of the basic things that people can do is start leaving their phones home. Don't buy as few surveillance devices as you can. Don't use Google. You know, there is, I use the browser Brave on my computer. I use it on my phone. It doesn't use Google for searches, which has the additional benefit of, first of all, not giving Google money and power, but it also doesn't let Google control what you're able to see. It uses the search engine DuckDuckGo that's embedded in the Brave browser. It's free to use. Go ahead, look it up and download it onto your devices. And again, we have to detach ourselves from, you know, these surveillance methods and be aware of their existence and be consciously choosing to use as little of them as possible. And also, we need to be building our networks of interpersonal communication and trust Rather than having all of our communications mediated through unelected tech oligarchs who don't share constitutional interests of Americans or our financial interests or share our value system, you know, our religious faith, as well as our belief in free speech and fair play for people of all political persuasions. We should, and every, you know, I'm buying less things from Amazon. I'm planning not to be an Amazon Prime member when my membership expires. You know, things like that, basically in every way possible. Seek to detach yourself in as many ways as possible. And because if the more of us that do that, the less it collectively erodes the power of that these organizations only get because we continue to use their services. So if we see them as enemies of our rights and of our faith and of our ability to communicate with each other and treat, and again, you know, I can't completely not buy anything facilitated by tech folks in China, but I'm going to do as little of that as I can and get better at finding better sources, you know, of things that I need, you know, for my family. And that's one thing I think we absolutely have to, in the age of COVID, you know, start rebuilding our personal, speak to people face to face. Don't blast out random garbage over Facebook and Twitter, which are just monetizing your hate and your anger and your dissent and using it to control you. Have more opportunities for get-togethers around the table, you know, or at coffee hours, at churches, at craft times with friends. Focus more on the personal and less on, you know, letting tech oligarchs decide who we can speak to, what we can say, and on what terms our relationships will be conducted.
Joy Pullman is managing editor of The Federalist. She's author of the book, The Education Invasion, and a recent column titled, Big Corporate Uses Capital Riots to Push Communist-Style Social Credit System on Americans. You can read it on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Joy, thank you.
Thank you.
Tuesday on Issues Etc., we'll discuss abortion legislation in 2021 with Carol Tobias, president of National Right to Life. We'll talk with Dr. Joel Bierman of Concordia Seminary about chastity, and we'll have Pastor Tom Baker lead us in a Sunday school lesson on the Old Testament judge Deborah. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.